Hey, it's the Beasley Brothers. When we're not shooting Canada's most watched hunting show, Canada in the Rough, we listen to Angela Viola on the Outdoor Journal radio show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Angela Viola, and he is Stephen Labadie over there. And what do you do here, by the way? People always ask me, you say Stephen Labadie over there, what do you do?
During the radio show,
like you hang around. I know you hang around every like you hang around like a bad smell.
During the radio show, I just push buttons.
Oh,
but Monday to Friday, I mix TV shows and oversee stuff.
Oh my,
yeah,
very interesting.
Yeah, what do you do here?
Derek Brandale and Andrew Holland. That's a fan. What do I do here?
Yeah,
as little as possible. I specialize in looking busy. I do a lot of that.
This is a job interview right now.
Yeah, and I'm good at that actually. And I hang out too. Yeah. I kind of hang around too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a bad smell.
Like a bad smell.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like you have to repeat everything I say.
Oh,
like,
no.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
We're
both bad smells.
Oh boy. At this time of year, many of us are making plans for fishing trips. I know we are getting ready to embark on season 37, I believe. 36, 37. I don't know anymore.
Of the
Fishing
just do
Canada
every year.
Show. Yeah,
we
the
just
fishing,
produce it.
Yes, that's it. Just, and, you know, folks are always looking for great locations with lots of fishing actions. Now, sometimes, you know, and I'm guilty of this, seems the farther away you can get, the more exotic the trip, the better the perception is, the better the fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because sometimes we'll fly into backwater lakes, like backwood, like we're so far in the boonies, it would take you months to get out if you ever, we're so far back. And yet the first thing that we do when we get in the boat from that dock that we're staying, first thing we do, we go as far away from that dock as we possibly can to find fish. It's insane. Sometimes the best fishing spots are right under your nose. And to talk to us about some great urban fishing opportunities, our carp expert and fishing angler extraordinaire is Will Machette. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Good morning, Angie. How are you?
Doing great, buddy. You're all pumped up for spring?
Oh, man. Seeing these temperatures for the next few days, I am absolutely ecstatic.
All right, so everybody knows you as the carp guy because we have featured you as the carp guy on the Fishing Canada show. But, you know, anglers are anglers, and you love fishing, and there's no question about it. At this time of year, it takes on a special personality, fishing does, doesn't it? It's almost therapeutic if you can immerse yourself in that preparation, that getting ready for. And carp angling is no different. You're going to be starting, I'm assuming, right at home under your own nose there on the Otonabee River in downtown Peterborough. But it's almost therapeutic as you make those last minute preparations.
It is indeed. And actually, I have moved away from the Peterborough area. I'm fishing a lot of a lot of new waters, to be fair. But it is indeed, as you said, it is very therapeutic. And, you know, sitting here tying up my rigs, you know, making sure my reels are all oiled and greased and, you know, properly maintained, looked after, cleaning down that gear, because that's about as good as it's going to look for the rest of the season. You know how it is.
oh, yeah,
and
I
then,
know.
Of course, it's getting out and looking for those new spots, right? You're looking on Google Maps here, you know, you're scouring new areas, and it is therapeutic. You know, you go and stand next to a spot, you look for any signs of life. You know, most of my spots currently have ice over them, but there are a few spots where the water's opening up, and obviously that gets you really pumped up. You start thinking, oh, get the corn.
Yeah, okay. Where have you moved to? Where are you going to be fishing mostly this year?
Well, I'm actually now in Marmara, which Crow Lake is known for incredible pike fishing, but I'm not terribly interested in the pike, as you very well know. I am going to try a little bit of dead baiting this year around the Crow River and around this area. It's an excellent way of catching fish, and it's very underexploited. But I will be fishing in the Bay of Quinte quite a bit this year. I have a pretty big plan to return back to Scugog to the same location where Ange and I shot a film last year. And
Pete,
we're going to be going back there and doing that again.
Yeah, Pete and you.
What's that, sorry?
I wasn't there. I wish I say Pete and yourself shot.
Pete and myself. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Pete. Yeah, Pete and I shot the film there together, and it was a heck of a time. So we're going to be returning back there with a friend of mine. So
nice. Do you know what's nice about carp fishing and what I think one of the reasons why I embraced it so much is the urban opportunities. You know, you don't have to go trouncing through the woods. You don't have to go a million miles away from home. You don't have to spend a whole lot of money traveling. It's all available. There is not an urban center that doesn't have some form of carp fishing available. Well, I shouldn't say that because I guess, you know, the farther north we get, the less prevalent carp are. But any community in the southern part of the province, it's just loaded with carp.
It is. And I mean, I'm part of a global movement known as the Urban Carp Collective. And, you know, our mission is to try to get people into the concrete jungle and to recognize that, you know, there are these incredible opportunities. And carp is, I would say, one of the most accessible fish in Ontario. And yes. So underexploited. Yes. And that's one of the reasons I was drawn to it when I was in university. You know, I was in Little Lake, you know, the Otonabee River right there in Peterborough. I could get anywhere I needed to on the Heel Toe Express, you know, and I could bring my gear with me. I didn't need a boat. I could just walk up to a shoreline, get my rig in the water.
And you know, it's funny we say that, but what are the greatest urban carp fisheries on the planet? Is downtown Toronto, right on Toronto Islands. Yeah. I mean, it is unbelievable. And all you have to do is, you know, take the ferry, bring your gear on the ferry, go across, and man, you can have world-class carp fishing right there. It's fantastic. And yet, when you go to Toronto Islands, you are hard-pressed to see anybody fishing at all, period.
Yeah,
for anything.
Unbelievable.
Oh, it's... Yeah. Do you know anything about the Niagara River carp fishery?
I have fished the Niagara region with a couple of friends of mine. I don't know a great deal, I'll be absolutely honest, but I do know that there are some mega carp in there, and there's also obviously a myriad of other species as well. I know that it can be fast-flowing and temperamental, and but it can make for an exciting fishing experience.
Yeah, the only reason I ask is I know it's a great carp fishery, and it's going to be the next big thing as far as I'm concerned. It's going to be massive, fantastic. Now, people must ask you all the time, though, and I want to hear your response to this. Why carp? Why do you spend so much time in pursuit of carp? Why not pike or walleye or bass like everybody else?
Well, Angelo, what's your favorite genre of music? You know, I often ask people that question right back at them. We all have our particular preferences, but I think I can give you three really good reasons why I have fallen in love with carp. And the first one is it's a big and exciting sport fish to catch. It's accessible. And the last one is the camaraderie that I've seen in the carp angling community. It's a global phenomenon. You know, like bass fishing, it's one of the biggest sport fish in the world, but carp is the biggest sport fish in the world. And when you can join some of these forums and stuff on Facebook, some of these groups, and, you know, you're connecting with people from all over the world, it's absolutely incredible. Like, I've had the opportunity to meet some of my heroes in the carp fishing community, like Matt Hayes, like Babs Kijewski, and, you know, it's incredible when you can share your stories and they span continents, you know, not just states and provinces.
Yeah, no, it's massive. And, you know, I first got bit by the bug about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, at a carp show in the northern parts of England. And you're right. I found out right away, just this is a whole different ballgame. These people... they're just different. Carp anglers are different. The camaraderie, you're right. It's next to none. I've never experienced anything like it. And, it's no wonder that it is the biggest sport fishery on the planet. We don't realize that here, but, when you factor in all of Europe and most of Asia and I mean, carp is just the big deal. And it's slowly working its way here. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even in my my short 6 years, I've seen it grow. So it's great.
Yeah. Now, you were the host of, is it Babs?
Yeah.
Or what is that? I've got a note here, but I, you know, sometimes Winters gives me little notes, and I have absolutely no idea what he's referring to, and I thought I would take a stab at this. What is this?
It's Babs Kajewski, and she's a German angling superstar. She has this wonderful show known as The World of Fishing. And she has traveled basically all over the world. She's fished, she's fished Cayman. She's fished Wells catfish out of the Ebro in Spain. And she's also come to Canada and caught some Arctic muskie. And in 2017, she came out to Canada, and her goal was to shoot a little carp episode for our wild carp in the Kawarthas region. And she had
that
a great
time. That must have been a great... It must have been a great experience for sure. When it was all said and done, what was her impression of our fishery, our carp fishery?
Well, when we showed up to our spot, it was a really serene little spot. And I remember she just looked out and went, "How isn't someone already here?" Right? And it was, making her recognize that it's just that underexploited. And, when we caught several fish in the high 20 range, she just shook her head and was just like, "Does anybody else really know about this spot?" I said, "I could probably count on my one hand." And she just was completely flabbergasted that we have such an incredible fishery.
Yeah, that's definitely the thing about carp fishing right now, anyways, in this part of the world, is that you can pretty much, aside from your buddies, you can pretty much guarantee that there'll be nobody else at these spots for sure. But I think that's going to change. I'm not suggesting it's going to be what Europe is, certainly not anytime soon, but I think you're going to start seeing more and more folks accessing this wonderful fishery, especially in urban areas. You know, I mentioned Toronto Islands, I mentioned the Niagara River, but just about every single urban center, certainly any southern Ontario urban center, has got world-class carp fishing right at its doorstep, just waiting for somebody to utilize, and just a matter of taking, it's gonna. Well, you're in the business. How is that growing for you? You actually take folks out and you guide for carp. How has that grown over the last few years?
Well, over the past few years, I would say in the last two, I actually became a father, and so with becoming a father and moving away. Well, thank you very much, Ange. With becoming a father and moving out of the Peterborough region, I've kind of slowed down on the guiding to the point where I'd say 2018 was my last year where I was actually advertising my guiding services. And that's primarily just because, I'm trying to explore new waters where I live now and trying to get a grasp of the fishery here. I know that in my last year of fishing in the Peterborough region pretty exclusively and heavily, I was starting to see the pressure. And, I one time brought out a client, and when I showed up to the spot, there was already somebody in it. And of course, I'm not going to sell someone, "Oh, by the way, this is a spot that I've been baiting for a client." You can't do that. It's everybody owns the shoreline. It's government property. So you can't be getting mad at that. And I think the only way that I'd probably jumpstart the guiding service again really hard is if I had a piece of private property to work off of, where I would be more in control of who has access to it when. But I definitely still am willing to take people out, that want to learn, and I've been doing it more for the love of it and just finding those new friendships and the camaraderie. I've got plenty of gear too, so I mean, people hit me up all the time and ask me, can we go out and get a carp for the first time? I'd love to do it. I'll exchange you for a day out on the water for muskie, and I go, that sounds like a good deal. So.
Yeah, sounds perfect. Give us a couple of tips for maybe people who are listening that might want to try carp fishing for the first time this coming season. First of all, when's the best time to start? Is it right at ice out, or because there is no close or open season on carp?
That's right. I mean, you could even fish them in the winter. There are people that have found success fishing carp through the ice. I personally don't think there's any waters around me where that is really possible. I think it's very difficult. And it's very, they basically all bundle up in one little area. So once you find them, you found them. But when ice opens up and you've got a nice shallow flat that you can feed and, you can bring the fish into, they will be there. They'll be there in numbers. I would say probably mid-April is a really good time to start. So that's not too far away from now. And, you know, get on the corn. The corn is a really cheap bait option, and it works. And if you read the article that I posted up on the Fishing Canada website, it explains why corn is so good. It's high visibility. It's a bright yellow. Sticks out like a sore thumb. It's got lots of carbohydrates, which makes it immediate energy for foraging fish, which is what they need when they're just waking up. They kind of just need that little pick-me-up, like coffee, you know. And so you get on the corn, and then for tackle, I mean, if you've got an 8-foot, 9-foot rod, that's a medium, medium heavy. Let's say you don't have exclusively carp gear, but are looking to get into it to maybe expand your gear in the future. An 8 to 9 foot medium to medium heavy action rod with a size 3,000 minimum, I would recommend 4,000 reel. It's plenty to handle most of the fish here in Ontario anyway. And I'd recommend 12-plus pound monofilament in clearer areas. And if you're fishing around a lot of weed, you couldn't go wrong with a bit of braid to help cut down some of that salad.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. I mean, there are an additional there's a whole host of other things that you could use as a carp angler, but those are the basics, and that's all it takes. A bit of patience. You do in most cases. I know you like to do it, and we do as well. And that is, you know, you like to feed an area in advance to bring carp in. Tell us about that.
So, creating an area where fish recognize it as a feeding location, it can take sometimes a little bit of time as they warm up and they become a little bit more, I wouldn't say aggressive on the feed, but when they're a little bit more willing to feed, it won't take nearly as long. But at the beginning of the year, you know, you'll be putting in probably at least 3-4 days worth of work of, you know, let's say a kilogram of maize at a time, a kilogram of corn at a time.
Yep.
And trying to keep it pretty close and, you know, tighten it so you can sort of see it. That's another important thing I think about this time of year is, you know, 2-3 feet of water is where they're going to be doing a lot of their feeding. A lot of their natural food is going to be in that depth as the stoneflies, as the bloodworms start to emerge. So, you know, you feed it up over 3-4 days and, you know, you keep an eye on it. And once you notice that, you know, every time you go back, it's completely gone, like all your bait is gone, you know that the fish have been in and they've been having a munch. So then at that point, get in there.
And they're used to coming into that area. There's a whole story on, as Will just mentioned, on fishingcanada.com. Go check him out. His wonderful blogs about carp fishing for sure. Will, thank you very much for joining us, my friend.
Angelo, thank you very much for having me.
Will Machette, a carp fisherman and guide, carp angler extraordinaire. When we come back, we'll be joined by our illustrious producer, John Winters. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.